All right, check this out. In Free Choice Marriage Decisions, he says that one of the hardest challenges is finding a good set of options to choose from. And of course, when he says a good set of options, he's talking about people. The options are people. Who do we choose from? For those interested in marriage, complaints about how hard it is to find a good man or a good woman are commonplace. How many of you have heard someone, in fact, maybe not even heard it, just kind of in passing, but you heard it because the question was posed to you. Where are the good men? Where are the good women? And that has been a major question for decades, at the very least, for males and females. Yes, ladies, I don't want you to think that you're the only one trying to discover the good ones. There are plenty of men trying to make the same discovery. Where are the good ones? You ladies want to know where the good men are? Men, you want to know where the good women are? You're going to have to decide what is good. You're going to have to decide what you will or will not settle for when it comes to good. Let's listen to some more about what Dr. Dalakia has to say about this. An Indian American who's seen this on both sides, he's had a lot of firsthand observation of free choice marriages and arranged marriages. A big problem, he says, is when left to their own devices, people tend to use pre-screening criteria that emphasize, get this, outward appearances, looks, possessions. How many of you ladies who either are married or plan to be married, hope to be married fairly soon, can just spit it out right away? These are the features I'm looking for in the man, and what first comes off your tongue are physical features. Height, build, complexion. Now, here's the question. If that's the first thing that rolls off your tongue, physical features, is that because that's what's most important to you? The physical features are most important to you. Now, I'm not saying that they are. I'm asking you, is that the reason that that's what comes off your tongue first? Because physical features are most important. How many of you say, well, I want to know what kind of car he's driving. I want to know what kind of home he lives in. Now, looking at that, here's a fair question to ask. If you have concerns or interest in what he will look like, and if you have concerns about what kind of car he drives, what kind of home he lives in, and does he live in his own home? Is it bad? Is it off kilter? Is it wrong to have those factors as part of your equation? I don't think it's bad, but I tell you what I do think is important. I think it's important that you be able to rattle off, roll off, sing about the inequalities at least as readily and as quickly as you can roll off the physical qualities that you're looking for. I think that, hey, you're talking about, you know, tall, that's kind of general. That's not as specific as 6'3", 6'4". But it gives us some idea. You don't want somebody who's short. Broad shoulders, okay. That's not the same as wanting his shoulders to be X number of inches apart from shoulder to shoulder. But you know, we kind of get the idea. You don't want someone with narrow shoulders. You don't want somebody who's skinny. That's not necessarily a bad thing because, as I've said before, we all are going to have some interest in what the person's going to look like. Now, that doesn't mean we're all looking for the same thing. There are people who say, hey, you know what? If she's not at least this heavy, I'm not interested. Others might say, well, if she's not at least this small, I'm not interested. And of course, the same way you have some men who are, you have men who have interest in what that lady's going to look like. You also have men who are interested in what kind of income she has. What is she driving? Where does she live? But even with that, that's not to say that everyone is looking for the exact same thing. Is it a wood frame house? Looks like it's about to fall apart. Is it a brick house? Looks like it's about to fall apart. Is it a very nice fancy home? 1,800 square feet, 2,600 square feet, 900 square feet. Is it a loft? Is it a mansion? People live in all these different kinds of places. What is the individual looking for? And it may not serve anyone well to necessarily say, well, if that's what you're looking for, you're wrong. That's just messed up. Maybe, maybe not. How many people live in houses that may cost $2 million, but their marriage is so miserable that they're not happy in their $2 million home? How many people live in what some people might consider to be shacks, but they genuinely love, like, and enjoy each other, and they're happy in their shack? I mean, what's going to bring happiness? What's going to bring contentment? What's going to bring fulfillment? And so all of this, you know, can be relative, because we're not all the same. We're not all alike. But again, pre-screening criteria for some will emphasize outward appearances. These are short-term oriented, but they may not necessarily contribute to longer-term marital outcomes. For instance, social psychologists have found impressive evidence for what they call attractiveness matching, in which daters give heavy weight to physical attractiveness of potential partners and favor those whose attractiveness is comparable to their own. Had you ever thought about that? Think about the person you decided to connect with. And maybe you're with that person even today. Would you say that your levels of attractiveness are comparable? Well, a second difficult challenge is choice, set, size. The question of how many potential partners to date before marrying someone. That can be answered by math. The answer is the square root of n, where n is potential lifetime dates, the solution to the optimal stopping problem, or computation made famous by the big data-driven process used by mathematician Chris McKinley on OkCupid. For most people, it is difficult to figure out when to stop searching. Now, remember, one of the factors that he says weighs into the success of the arranged marriages is that you have other people doing the pre-screening, and basically they have ruled out people who they've already determined to not be a good fit. Whereas with free choice, we just kind of go on and on and on. He says a lot of people have a hard time knowing when it's time to stop searching, and just as hard not to begin again once they've settled for choosing a partner. Oh man, you know what? I really like this person. Yeah. This person is the one who I'm going to connect with. This is the person I'll do my forever after with. And even after having made that choice, they start looking again.